And we're going to talk about identity today and going forward. And I'm calling this the necessity of identity. How many know it's important to have an identity, an ID card? If you start traveling, it becomes something that I'm always paranoid that I don't have that thing, you know? You get a fanny pack and you put it right on your chest, and man, your passport's right in there, isn't it? And it's like, you have to have that thing. Why? For access. Is that right? Your identity gives you access to certain privileges, certain rights. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to take the best advantage of those, does it? It just gives you access. So I just want to tell you real quick about this guy that we met actually, he was one of the first ones we met when we landed in Palermo Airport. And he's a guy from Norway, but he doesn't look like he is. He looks like he could be from South America, or he looks more Latino. And his name's Aiden. Very precious guy. And so I believe he grew up in Norway, but he was born to some parents that were from a U.S. territory. And so he actually has a U.S. passport that he uses for everywhere he goes, and he's never even been in the United States. Is that interesting? But he has the identification. He's just never accessed it. Isn't that interesting? So he's going to be part of a team that's moving to Florida. In fact, they've just moved there since we had our trip. They've moved there, and they're starting starting a base for doing the same kind of outreach from Florida. Isn't that great? So he's part of that team, and he's just a really precious guy. Just really warm and receptive. His wife is too. But what's really interesting is, even though he's had this identification, that he's just now being able to do something with it, other than go across lines, you know, into different territories. The necessity of a passport, of an identification. And it's based upon not just a card. So here's what happened to me. I flew back in. I had to fly into Seattle. I went to Turkey, and then I flew from Turkey to Seattle. And I come into Seattle, and you know how you have to go through, and there's a passport clearance thing, you know? And so they had me walk up to this pad, and they said, just come over here. It was for the U.S. citizens. And I walk up there, and I'm getting my passport that I was paranoid about. I'm starting to pull it out, and I just walk up to this thing. He says, oh, you're good. See it. Go on by. I said, what? It saw my face. It saw my face and let me go. It identified me. And they said, we got that from your passport already. We already know who you are. Isn't that interesting? Now, this has gotten to be really weird, hasn't it, with AI and everything. And I guess in China, everywhere people go, their irises are telling somebody somewhere something about them. Because there's different things about us that identify us. Our appearance, amen? Our abilities identify us, don't they? Who are you? Well, I'm a doctor. Well, I'm a fisherman. Whatever. I'm an engineer, right? Well, and it's based upon your experience, based upon who you are, but it's very essential, because your identity, actually, even like the way I looked, got me into my country, but not the way I look, but my identification, amen? And so these things are things that we're always being enabled by, and things that we, even as Americans, I was thinking about Aiden not ever living in America and just now coming in and getting access. But how much of us that have a passport don't do very much with it? Amen? And it's because there's another identification that can restrict. We can look at limitations based upon what we put our identification in. Amen? You know, there's an example in the Old Testament. Remember this guy named Mephibosheth? I like that name. And I like to call my kids names, you know, and I thought, man, that's a cool name. And I tried to tried to call him Mephibosheth, and my wife says, no, don't call him Mephibosheth. He was the grandson of King Saul, the one that was trying to kill David, right? And when he was being, I think he was a little kid when they were trying to escape, and he fell, and he became lame, and he couldn't even walk. So when David became the king, he ran away and into this place that was just forsaken because he didn't identify himself as worthy for so many reasons. In fact, David called for him, and when he came to David, he said, I'm just a dog. I'm not worthy of anything. Is that right? He was restrained. He was separated because of his own identity, right? And maybe rightly so to some extent. But here's what's really cool is David said, no, you're not just a lame grandson of the man that tried to kill me. That man was anointed by God, and you're his descendant, and I'm going to treat you like my own family. Amen? What a correlation to what's happened to us in Christ. Amen? Yes. We were descendants of, and we are without Christ. We were descendants of the ones that turned away from him, from God. Is that right? But Jesus came and said, no, I'm not allowing you to remain separate. You're not a dog. I call you my own. Amen? And he brings us into his family. Can you see how important identity is? There's a necessity of it. Hallelujah. For anything that we do, we have to have an ID, except for voting in some places. Sorry, I'm sorry, that just had to be said, right? Because it's essential, amen? So I want to talk about this identity, though, that we have in Christ, and such a big part of getting past the limitations of our own perceptions of identity is to going to the one who made us and finding out what he thinks about us. Because if you can discover who you really are, you can become what it is made to be. Now, what is really interesting is we're all different, aren't we? We all don't have the same natural abilities. But what's really cool is God comes in to give us an identity that's like a citizenship. You're into a place now where you have possibilities before you that are only limited by how much you access them. Amen? Does this make sense? So I'm going to do something today that it's kind of fun, because I don't know if y'all remember from last week, but there was a presentation of the gospel. All right, I'm going to have somebody help me. How many young people are here? I'm going to do it to Braden. Braden, you want to help me? What are the four things that the gospel are about that you present when you say, what's the first one? Okay. It's Jeremiah? Do you know? All right. It's tag team. Jeremiah. All right. Well, you know, we're going to keep on. And Caleb. Oh, Caleb's got it. All right, Caleb. There you go. I'm going to use those things today, okay? Because it's really kind of cool how our identification with Christ is very similar to the gospel. It's good news. Is that right? So what I want to start off with here is if we're going to actually get something beyond what we can see in ourselves and what we're used to seeing, we're going to have to go to the source of who made us, because he's not limited by the things that limit us. Is that right? Okay. So let's go to Genesis 1:27. Creation is identity from our Creator. Okay? Our true identity cannot come from self, but from our Creator. I'm telling you what, there's some power in this stuff that requires revelation for it to be applied, though. I just encourage you right now. How many have studied about who you are in Christ? Good stuff. Let's just pretend like we don't know anything. Can we do that? That's the best way to learn. Amen? Because I guarantee you there's something by the Spirit for you to receive today that will help you. Amen? Are y'all good? So God created human beings. How? In his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It's like we were prayed here this morning. I'm thinking, isn't it cool how we all look like Jesus and we look so different? That means there's an identity that you cannot confine to an outward appearance. Amen? Because we all can look just like Jesus. Amen? But only as we quit being restricted by outward identification. Amen? So this is going to require being, because I don't know about you, but I live in the realm of identification from the outward. We just live in that, don't we? Amen? And God's saying, I've come to give you another identity. Not that you one that you were born into in the natural, in a natural body, but in a new one. Amen? And it's going to look like him. So if our identification right off the bat is going to look like something other than what we've been looking at. Amen? So important to get a good vision of who God is, right? Psalm 139, 14. Knowing and submitting to God's design enables its fulfillment. I like this about David. What helped David so much was his understanding of who God was changed his perception of who he was, his own identification. Amen? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How, listen to this, how well I know. Another clue. We're going to be made in the image of God, and it becomes very important, like David, to say, how well I know what you're doing in me, what this image is, what are the aspects of it, amen? Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 1, 5. God's identity overwhelms all obstacles. Oh, this is great. Because what? That identity that God already has for us, the plan that he already has, aren't you glad he formed us? We're his workmanship. Amen. We're crafted by him. I knew you. Aren't you glad God knows us? But what's really cool about him is he knows us before we ever breathe a single breath. He's been involved in our design before conception. Amen? I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, please get a glimpse of what he's saying right here. Because it's so easy to say, God's saying something about me, but God, you really see how I really am, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know you're God and everything, but just let me say but here a second. And God's saying, just make the but on the other side. Yeah. I'm this way, but God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm what? Identified as disqualified because of my age. I'm identified and disqualified by my IQ. I'm identified and disqualified because of my gender. You see? But what does God say? He says, don't say I'm too young. Don't say I'm any of those things. All becomes very important what we're saying, because what we're saying is our identification. These are clues, okay? For us to identify with Christ, it's gonna require transformation of perception. Is this right? The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. God is saying something to us. He's given direction to us that requires our identification to be in alignment with his. Amen? And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. What is it about people? They disqualify. They push us away. Right? And if we allow the world's identification on us to restrict us, we'll never actually be accessing the passage that our passport gives us into the realm of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. All right, so we did creation. God created us for this. Amen? He said, I saw you. I designed you before you were even born. So, if that's how God sees us, he said, I'm needing you to come along with my perception. Amen? So what affects this God perception of us? What happened in the garden? It was sin, wasn't it? Is that right? What is sin? It's a lie. It's a lie about your identification. What does Satan come to Adam and Eve with? You will not die. You will gain wisdom. But he's talking about their identification. He's something about them, isn't he? And he's saying, no, you're going to get something that you don't need God for. Is that right? That's what sin is. It's not something to, oh, just quit sinning. You're so bad, you're going to go to hell for sin. No, it's separating you from an identification that God established before you were even born. Is this right? God wants us to live pure, but for what reason? Because you cannot identify with the most holy Savior if you're choosing to live in sin. Is that right? So God helps us with this. He doesn't say, just quit sinning. He says, no, come into me. Come, get your identification from me. Because when you identify with me, you will not be able to do those things anymore. Is that right? All right, Jeremiah 31. Isn't it cool how God describes what he's going to do in Christ hundreds of years before? This God that we're connected with is a planner. And we're right in the middle of his plan to the degree that we access it. Can you see this? But this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days. What was he doing with the old covenant? He was trying to make a way for them to be able to identify with him. Wasn't it amazing? Moses goes up on the mountain and right away they want a calf instead. That's an identification problem. Is that right? He said, but I'm going to make a new covenant because it's going to change who you are. It's going to change your identity. You're going to be born again. Isn't this cool? I will put my instructions deep within them and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. What's he? He's declaring identity here, isn't he? Amen? And they will not need to teach teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. You obviously don't know the Lord. You should, you know? For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive, isn't this wonderful? That thing that separates us from identity with him, he's forgiven us of it. But we have to access it. And we have to let it go also. We're no longer identifying with sin. Amen? I'm a child of God. And I will never again remember their sins. Isn't that amazing? For what purpose? Not just so that we can walk free and not never have any fun anymore. You know, it's like, no. So that we can identify with the one that created us. Amen? So it's so important for there to be a pursuit of identity. Amen? All right, I'm setting y'all up. Is that okay? Ezekiel 37:23. Fruit determines identity. God's people are pure. So, just thought about this. You know, when has anybody ever done a garden? And my wife wanted me to make one of those planter cases, you know, box for the backyard. Did you ever plant anything in there?
I did. I
still got dirt in it. It's still ready to go. It's But what do you do? What do you do? I can't identify seeds, what they're going to look like myself very well at all. So what do? You take the packet, right? The picture of what it's going to look like someday. And it's not even out of the ground yet. It's not even sprouted yet, right? But you can't do anything about what it's going to produce once you put it in the ground. Is that right? It's going to produce what it is. Is that right? So your fruit actually determines what you're producing is defining your identity. Yes. Now I know once we receive Christ as our Savior, we're settled in Him, we're secured in Him, and this promise is ours. He puts it far from us. Amen? But Jesus was talking to religious people, and He said, you're of your father, the devil. Ooh. Didn't He? Yes. Why? Because of their fruit. And as much as God has done something in us, there's a need to access it, or else we can still serve sin. Is that right? And even though we have a passport, we never go to America. Is that right? Because we've never gone to the place where it's provided for us. He provides holiness for us. And holiness is a beautiful thing. It's not a restrictive thing. It's a liberating thing. Is that right? All right, so He's all about this, but it's for a purpose. It's a purpose of identity. They will never again pollute themselves with their idols and vile images and rebellion, for I will save them from their sinful apostasy. I will cleanse them. Then they will truly be what? My people. He's doing identification again. Amen? You're identified by your fruit. Is that right? Amen. Just one thing real quick. What was cool about... We can't do this ourselves. There's a wilderness for us to go through while we're on this earth. But remember what happened when the children of Israel did that with a calf? God had enough of them. And He said, my promise is still going to be true. You're still going to go through the wilderness. You're still going to get to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses said, I got a problem with that, God. Is that right? He said, I got a problem with that. Because if you don't go with us, we don't have identity to occupy these places. Amen? If you don't go with us, isn't this precious? That I need you to be here. This is what this is really about. Our identification is a relationship thing. It's about knowing our God. Amen? And then there will be evidence that I'm a people of God. That I'm a child of God. And it will be born in my fruit. Amen? There's no identification with Christ apart from fruit that represents that. Amen? You can be wanting to be an orange, but you're just a sour grape. No, I'm sorry. All right. Okay, so that there's a separation problem, right? There's sin. There's a need for looking like it. So this is a solution, and we're familiar with this, but man, let's get this, okay? I don't know about you, but I've been playing the guitar since I was like 9 years old, and you know what? I have so much more to learn. I've practiced for hours on end, and I still need to practice for hours on end because there's no mastering something completely. Amen? If this is so essential, identity is so essential, there's a need for a discovering of what it means. Amen? And a humility of heart that says, I want to conform to this. Right? Solution, identity with Christ's purity. When we identify with Christ, we're not just identifying with all the goodies. We're identifying. He went to the cross to bear all of our sins. So that we don't have to keep sinning. Amen? When you identify with the cross, you identify by producing fruits of righteousness. Amen? His identity for us is to be in the image of Christ, each unique brother and sisters of the Father. Romans 8:29. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Amen? So he would. This is a fulfillment of that prophecy, that Old Testament prophecy, isn't it? He saw us before, and he destined for, from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. What are we getting? We're getting that. What is the likeness? That's the identity. Amen? This means that the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Huh. This is not being pompous. This is not being elevated in pride. No, this is the promise of God. This is an identity that we have. And it's an essential identity to access the blessings of the promise. Amen?
Yes, it is.
You have to know that they're yours to access them and live in them.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Man, you get somebody that knows they're an American, man, they can stand up for their rights. Is that right? Our new birth certification of identity. So what happens when we get born again in Christ? Now, it's funny. I'm sure y'all have gotten passports and stuff, and it was kind of sad because Hunter. We never had his birth certificate correct. And so, was it after they got married? What was it? It was some weird thing. It's like, his name was spelled wrong or something, you know? And it's like, it goes right back to your birth certificate. You're not going to get a passport without what first? Proof that you were born. A piece of paper that proves that you're not just standing there breathing in somebody's face. You were actually born. Right? What do we have in Christ? We have certification that we were born. Amen?
Yes.
We're born to newness of life in him.
That's good.
A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. Oh. So the image that Jesus had, or that the Father had of us, the identity that he had for us in creation itself, is overcoming the sin that was put upon us in Adam and Eve, isn't it? But there's this need for a new identity. This is why it becomes very important that when we get born again, we understand that I'm no longer an old creation. I might have done some things. I might display them from time to time, but that's not who I am. Now, anytime I do those things, it's just because I need to get deeper into my relationship. Amen? And I need to access this certification and do something with it. Amen? But it's so important to know what to do. All right. Ephesians 1:4. Are y'all good?
Yes.
All right. God chose us to be his own family in Christ. So Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Man, this is a fulfillment, isn't it? God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Amen? So here's what's really cool about this. The old law that God was using to help us to identify with him, it made people feel like slaves. Everything you did now, man, you could be hung for flipping a light switch, you know, on the Sabbath. Anything's fair game for you now. Is that right? He said, this is not working. What we need is a new identity. The old covenant, all it helped people to feel is identified with a failure. Some animals having to get killed again because of me, you know. In Christ, all those sins prophesied, they're going to be far from you. Amen?
Yes.
And now you're going to have a birth certificate that gives you access to the best things. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Oh, I already said that. Okay, let's go to Titus 2:14. Man, I love this. Man, there, from 11 to 14 is just a wonderful passage. But his people are known by their commitment to good deeds. So he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. This kind of sounds like an echo, doesn't it? Identification. He wants us to be his very own people. Is this right? And how do you know you are his very own people? By what you do. I thought we were free from what we do. No, we're enabled in what we do. Amen? To reflect God. Okay, so we have three things. We're created with an identity. We were separated from that by sin. We still can be. Is that right? In Christ, though, we've been given a new identity. We've been given a new birth certificate, a new passport, right? And what does that mean? It means that take away all that identity of failure, of sin, of those things. I'm taking on a new creation identity that is pure, that is holy. Is that right? So now, the only thing that it's contingent upon, it's for everybody, isn't it? That's the 11th verse of Titus 2 says, for now, salvation has appeared to all people. That means the goodness of God is now available to everybody, but only those that access it can experience its blessings. Amen? So it requires a decision. Creation, separation, solution, sounds like the gospel, and now decision. We have to do something with it. And it's not just something that happened a long time ago. Man, 40 years ago, I was gloriously saved. You should have been there. Well, I just guess you weren't, so you don't get to know how wonderful it was. But you know what I mean? No, the decision for identity becomes just like those people's offerings. It's something that's renewed every day. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What is happening in that declaration? Identification with access to the presence of God. Amen? The necessity of our identity is discovered and empowered as we behold him in his word by the Spirit. This is what's so powerful about the word of God for us. How many have been affected in your identity by another kind of word that's been spoken over you? You can be having a wonderful day. It's like an old song when you spoke those words to me, wilt thou, and so I'm wilted now. I wish I could remember the whole thing, but that's the part I remember. And it's like you're having this wonderful day, and somebody says something, you might not even understand what they were asking, you know. But boy, howdy, it can change your identity, right? Somebody thinks something bad about me. How somebody thinks. That's why the prophecy said, don't worry about what the people think, right? I'm only going to think about what God says. So, but there, if you're not getting into the word, all you're getting is this other stuff, this wilt now stuff. You know? 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. How many have had the veil removed? What is that veil? It's revelation of who Christ really is. Is that right? I'm telling you what, rabbis have, there's nobody that has more understanding of the scriptures. I don't know if you could call it an understanding. Knowledge of the scriptures anyway, right? But it requires something else. It requires a removal of a veil. And what is that veil? It takes you into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God doesn't just bless you, it gives revelation of who you are. Yes. Amen? Yes. To the point that, I'm telling you what, when you take on the identity of Christ, you're not trying to avoid things anymore. You just don't even go there. Because somebody like me doesn't go there. Amen? There needs to be that kind of an attitude. Is that right? Yes. Satan, are you talking to me about being tempted by that? Don't you know who I am? Is that right? Yes. But if you don't know who you are, you have nothing to say. And you wilt. Okay. Right. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Oh. So we behold him and we become him. Amen? We're changed. I'm so glad for the glory that I've already seen, but there's another glory for me to go to. The purpose of going to a glory is to get to the one on the other side. Is that right?
Yes.
And it takes us in our identity to a place so that what Christ has done for us is not just something that we never go there, but we actually access it and the rights that are ours there. And we become wealthy in that place. Is that right? We're changed. Our identity is transformed by looking into the Word. Amen? Okay. So you've been blessed today? I want to look at this going forward a little bit. What does it mean to look into the Word? And what are we seeing in the Word when we get there? Amen? Because it's so important for us to be immovable in what God has given for us. For us not to just know about it, but to become it. Can you see that? Necessity of identity. Very necessary. You can be disqualified without it. Your own identity can keep you from going somewhere that you already have the right to go. Is that right? Hallelujah. God wants to take us to a place where everything that who Christ is, man, there's so much in him. Not just that thing we've seen already. There's something else for us to discover. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for that today. Hallelujah. God, what an amazing love you have for us. What a vision you have for us. What a design you have for us that before we were even born, you had a perspective of who we were. You knew our gender. You knew our height. You knew our appearance. But mostly what you knew was who we could identify with that would liberate us from any other restrictions so that the call that you've given on us, our lives can be walked out, can be fulfilled for your glory in this earth. Hallelujah. God, I speak that over each person here today. Lord, that we cannot be human without being drawn by other things in the world around us. And even in the pursuit of you, there's a possibility for us to get into pride and to feel like we're better than somebody else. But Father God, I thank you that you're liberating us from any of those diversions from the place in you that is perfect and pure, that is the image of Christ. Lord, I just speak that over every person here today, that there's a work of your Spirit on the inside of them. You know, no matter how far they've already come, but there's so much more for them to go to in the identification that you've put upon us in Christ, that you've enabled for us in Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. I see the image of you in me. Is Austin still back there? Yeah. If you want to do that video now, he had to wait a long time for this cue. But this is a song I recorded, and I thought, man, I just want to make y'all listen to this. Is this all right? If you can put I need the lyrics up there. There you go. Can we start it again? And you got to hear the guitar intro and everything, right? All right. All right. There we go.
I see the image of you in me, a powerful prince of peace living inside. in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that is living in me. The old has died, has brand new life living. It's Christ that is.
Amen. We have something to see, don't we? So it's so important for us to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty so that we can walk in it, not forget it, not start looking like something else. Amen. Why don't we stand up as we get ready to go out and live victoriously as banners of Christ? Amen. And let's make some declarations that go along with what we studied here today, what we received. Do you receive this from God?
Yes.
This is my passion, because you know, if you receive it from God, it makes transformation in your life. Amen. We're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. Amen. So important for in the renewing of our minds to actually declare some things. So I encourage you, we have an app that has all the notes from today. It actually has some other goodies in there, has a little blurb at the front, and then it has some things at the back. Man, we have to keep going on this, don't we? Giving ourselves to it. And it's just like giving, it's just like anything else in God. Man, you start getting faithful to it, and you'll get hooked on it with joy.
Yes.
And you'll live in the freedom it brings for you. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's say this together. Should be able to have it on there. Yep. All right. Let's say this. I am wonderfully made by God, created in His image with purpose. Let's say it again. I am wonderfully made by God, created in His image with purpose. Okay, let's do the next one. Sin cannot erase God's claim on my life. His covenant restores my identity. Amen? Sin is not separating me from this new thing that I have in Him. His covenant restores my identity. Okay, the next one. Oh, we can say that again, I guess. All right. In Christ, I am chosen, adopted, redeemed, and made new. Amen? This is the solution that we have. Oh, but we have to access that. We have to pull out our passport and go into the States, right? All right, let's say this again. In Christ, I'm confusing those folks. In Christ, I am chosen, adopted, redeemed, and made new. Hallelujah. All right, let's do the next one. I will behold Christ, reflect His glory, and walk as who I truly am in Him. Let's say that again. Let's just imagine this right now. Let's look into the face of Jesus right now and say, this is what I will do. I will become who I'm looking at. Amen? Amen. Let's say this again. I will behold Christ, reflect his glory, and walk as I truly am in him. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands. We're saying this unto him. Amen? God, I commit.